Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight, I'm joined by Tyson, and Tyson is a returning guest to the podcast. For those who have listened to his episode, which was season 13, episode 7, It Landed on the Hill, Tyson dropped a bit of a bombshell at the end of that episode, saying he has had some really unique Yowie encounters, and I can tell you one is definitely going to be a first for the show. Might be a first of all time for Yowie encounters that I've ever heard of. So Tyson, welcome back, mate.
G'day, it's good to be back.
It's great to have you here, mate. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows I'm a sucker for a good Yowie story. And the one that you just kind of dropped on me before is one of the most incredible Yowie encounters I've heard of. So mate, would you be able to walk us through what happened and go back to that day?
Absolutely. I'll walk you through my first encounter where I visually seen a Yowie crossing the road in front of me. I spent 5 years of my life working for the state government of West Australia, managing the bushfire management program, which is prescribed burning and during the summer fighting wildfires. And finally got some time off work, and we'd actually just been to this fire in an area of the bush called Porgina, and that's probably about an hour's drive north of Warpole near Lake Muir. And the fire had been extinguished and had been out for a couple of weeks now, and I was based at the headquarters in Manjimup, and on my weekends off I'd drive up the Muir Highway east to Mount Barker, then south into Albany to visit my family on my weekends off. And I was cruising along the highway, and I come over this crest, and I would have been probably about 700 metres out, maybe 500 metres out, and I seen a bloke standing on the gravel on my side of the road, sort of just wandering onto the bitumen. He was probably about a metre or so out into the bitumen now. He was looking down at his feet. Mind you, I'm doing 100 k's an hour and I'm approaching him quite fast. He's looking down at his feet and looking for something. And I thought, working in emergency services, I just clicked and I went, there's a car accident. This bloke's looking for his cell phone or his keys or something. So I started gearing my cruiser down, slowing down, started winding my window down. Then I looked back up at the dude and I noticed, I'm probably about 400 metres away now, and I've noticed that he's not wearing any clothes. and I could just, like, at a couple hundred metres, you can tell if someone's wearing a pair of jeans and a coloured top, and he hadn't any of that on, and sort of thought this was a little bit suspicious, so I actually leant over and locked me doors and just left me window ajar enough to speak through, because it was quite remote out there, and I thought maybe I might be in for a little bit of trouble, someone might be, you know, up to no good, trying to weigh me down and jack me from a wallet or something. And then I got a bit closer and a bit closer, and I went, no, this dude's completely naked. And then I realised that he was covered in head to toe in hair, and I sort of wasn't quite sure. My brain sort of went, all the possibilities other than what it was. And I got even closer, and he's sort of walking out towards the middle of the dotted line on the bitumen now. And I've got close enough to see that his arms are a little bit longer than ours, and his hands are probably dangling about knee height. And his hands were so large that he could have, I say he because he didn't have any breasts, he could have wrapped one hand around its own skull. It was only, I'm 175 tall, and he was shorter than me, and I'm probably about 100 metres, not even 100 metres away from him now, and it's looked up at the windscreen of my car, and we made eye contact and did all the hairs on my neck stand up, and I just, my stomach turned and my heart just dropped, and my eyes teared up, and I just went, what the fuck is that thing? It's taken three big bounds into the, across the highway south towards Lake Muir. And I've slowed down, geared my car down. I've come to a stop, so I was square to where it ran into the bush. And it's probably, it was young Jarrah forest, and all the trees weren't any rounder than a dinner plate. And I could see about 70 metres deep into the bush. And I knew that that animal, or whatever it was, could not have ran 70 metres deep in the bush. And I couldn't see it. So I knew that it was hiding in the undergrowth, only 30 or 50 metres into the bush. And I sort of puckered and just took off in my car. I got to the Rocky Gully pub and bought myself a six-pack of beer. And I had to share it. And I shared exactly what I did with you then to this bloke at the bar. And he turned the music off and asked the other people in the pub to come around, and the publican and stuff. And there's probably about six of us in total. I told the story again. And this old bloke, he said, oh, was it about 10, 20 Ks back west of town? And I said, yeah. And this old fella said, I heard the exact same story about 10 years ago. And when it looked at me through the windscreen of my ute, I had never felt so churned up inside. So it was a pretty full on feeling. And I made it down south, visited my family, and on the weekend, I thought about it all weekend, and I told a few folk. And on my way home, I was like, I got to go back, and I've got to pull my ute over, and I've got to check the drain for footprints or anything. I pulled over, nothing. I couldn't find anything. So I left it at that, and that played on my head for a few months. And we ended up at the Yarloop bushfires a couple of months later, and we're fighting the fires there, and we kind of got stuck in the bush for quite a while. We're there for about 2 weeks, I think, and we were coming up this tiny little track, me and my mate in the fire truck, and it was late at night and lights were sort of flashing, and we come sort of honking up this track, and we've seen this quite large built lady, hairy lady, holding a baby in her arms on the side of the road. And we, same exact thing, we both, our stomachs turned and churned, and we sort of were like, fuck. And we looked at each other, And my mate said, did you just see that? And I went, yeah, I seen that. We stopped the truck and we reversed back, but there was nothing there except for a yokine, which is a bunch of grass trees, or I think they call them belga trees. And we swear that one of the belga's trees was a woman holding an infant. And we didn't really speak much of it to each other, not even the next day, not even an hour later. We both sort of just like, oh, we're a bit sleep deprived. We've been here for many hours. We're working hard. We might have just spun out. But you don't, people don't hallucinate the exact same thing at the same time, I don't think. And it was about four nights later, we'd finally got on top of all the fires and stuff, and we're there and we're doing a bit of mop up and cleaning up. And it must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we pulled the ute over and we're having a feed, meals come around, and he pulled down this little track, and we had the heavy and the crew truck parked bull bar to bull bar, and a couple of blokes jumped in the crew truck and they were all watching something on the portable DVD while they ate their dinner. And I was walking around with my torch just looking at possums and whatever numbats if I could find any, and kicking a few rocks. And I'd actually walked probably about 100 metres from the trucks and went to take a piss in the bush. And, well, before I took a piss in the bush, as I was walking along, I could hear something about 10 metres deep following me through the bush for about 30 metres. And I thought, I could hear that it was bipedal. And I thought, it must be a emu. It's a kangaroo, sounds different when it moves through the bush. And I immediately thought that. I was like, it can't be emu, because we're in quite thick carry country and the emus don't really like to hang out there. And I didn't really think much of it afterwards, and took a piss in the bush, and this thing was directly square with me, straight in front of me, and it started walking straight towards me, and I reckon it got tuned to about 5 metres of me. I don't know why I didn't turn the torch on. I just packed it and I went back to the ute, back to the trucks. And I was so frightened, I didn't tell anybody, and I really regret that. I really wish that I'd said, fuck, let's get out of the truck, let's go down there and shine all our spotties around in the bush and find out whatever this was lurking. And I still regret not doing that. The one female that we had in our crew, it was her first year, pretty full-on year to be a part of the Yarloop bushfires for her, and she was a bit shaken up. And she hopped out the truck about 15 minutes after that just happened to me, and she walked straight down there, and I wanted to tell her, and I just couldn't tell her. I was too spun out. My brain was still trying to process what had just happened. And she'd walked down the track, and she's gone to take a piss herself, and she's come back, and she goes, you fucking sick. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, you just snuck up behind me while I was taking a piss. And I said, no, I didn't. And as soon as she said that to me, my whole stomach just dropped and spun, and my head, I was like, nah, I was dead set. It was a yowie, because I'd seen that bizarre thing on the highway, the lady holding the baby a couple of days prior, and then this has happened, this bipedal thing's come sneaking up on the pair of us. And she even punched me in the chest, and she was really, really upset, as any woman would be. And she actually did not speak to me for the rest of the year. We actually lived together in the headquarters of the fire station, and she didn't speak to me for the whole time, and she quit her job the following off season. And I think deep down inside she knew that it wasn't me, because there was no way that she could run back to the ute, back to the trucks 100 metres, and for me to beat her doing so. And she probably, yeah, she was trying to process the whole thing herself, and I reckon that it was a yowie that we both encountered that night, and the other two encounters, were definitely yowies. It was pretty crazy stuff. And the most powerful thing about these encounters is the feeling of just horror that comes with it. It's quite intense for your mind to realize that you have something that could potentially be a predator or cause harm to you in a way that, you know, your mind has probably never imagined of being threatened with.
Those encounters, they are so intense, and I can hear the fear that you lived in those moments just while you're retelling those encounters. That first encounter that you had on the road, where it was just kind of standing there on the road, minding its own business, and you just kind of come into view. I could only imagine the world shattering moment of you looking in the eyes of this creature.
Yeah. And that's probably a pretty spot on description of the feeling there. Just, yes, shattering, take your breath away kind of stuff.
The way that you were just describing that, you know, you are completely powerless in this moment, you know, really does go to show that the intimidation that these creatures have over us would be unfathomable. It would be something that is just completely out of our realm of normality. And it honestly, it sounds like your whole body just went into a state of shock. It just couldn't comprehend what it was seeing.
Yeah, definitely the old fight or flight. And I did process this for a little bit. When your body does go into that fight or flight mode, sometimes when your body chooses to do the flight option, it can exaggerate and exacerbate things that are potentially a threat. So maybe when I seen this thing on the highway, maybe its hands weren't actually as large and they were quite long, pointy fingers. I wouldn't say it may have had claws because I couldn't actually tell, but maybe my mind just said, oh, that's a threat. Let's just make some of its teeth look scarier and its hands look bigger, so there's a more chance that you'll protect yourself by running away. And I did think about that quite heavily, but its hands were dangling down at knee height. It was definitely not human, that's for sure.
Being a firefighter, you would be also quite seasoned when it comes to, I imagine, high-stress situations. You would see things that not the everyday person would see. You would deal with situations that the normal person would not deal with. And for this to throw you off that much, you know, it really speaks volume of that moment. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. And I spend a lot of my time in the bush when I was, in my free time, still present, do a lot of bow hunting and fishing, trout fishing and stuff like that. So I'm in the bush stomping around into spots that people don't normally go into. And whilst I was doing the bushfire stuff, every day at work, we're in the bush, and I'd never come across or seen anything like that in my life.
That first encounter, was the Yowie evading the back burning that you were doing?
The fire had all been fully extinguished out. There was no more active fire or anything like that. It was probably about 30-odd kilometres away from the fire that was initially there early on in the year. When we went out to that fire, we had an Indigenous man in one of our crews, and we went out to the area where the fire was taking place. And before we even got there, he said in the truck, he said, I don't want to come out here. I do not like this area of land. There's something about it that is not right. I can feel it in my bones. And that's always stuck to me, that comment that he made in the truck, because it was only a little while after that I had that encounter, and it just, all these pieces of the puzzle just fell into place.
It's funny how the universe works like that, and it tries to give you these warnings, and I guess if you're not paying attention to them, you know, these are those potential outcomes. It's kind of that sixth sense that, you know, he was able to pick up on around about that area.
Absolutely.
So this second encounter, this is something that I've never heard of here in Australia, and it blows my mind that these types of encounters aren't more common, where we see a parent and a juvenile together. It's something that I find so fascinating, and the fact that you got to share this with someone else in that moment really does give you the credence of, yeah, we saw what we saw, because like you said, you know, shared hallucinations, I don't really think that's what's going on here.
Yeah, no, it was very brief. I'll admit we were probably going a little bit quicker in the fire truck than we probably should have been. We're excited to be knocking off for the night. We've been there for a few days, and we passed this thing, and we both just immediately just looked straight at each other to see each other's response, and the look we both gave each other was you just seen what I just seen, didn't you? And we stopped the truck, backed up, and like I said, there was just a couple of grass trees or belga trees in standing around, and I shared that story with some of my Indigenous friends, and they explained to me that particular they believe that particular Yowies or spiritual creatures mask themselves as grass trees or belga trees. And what spun me out was when I told the story and I said I was backing the ute up, and before I'd finished my story, my friend said, and there was nothing but belga tree standing there, was there? And I went, whoa. Yeah, there was nothing but grass trees. And he went, yep. And then explained to me how they believe that that's what they mask themselves as.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, because I believe the, you know, the camouflage tendencies of these creatures are of a level that we just cannot understand. I believe that they are the genuine masters of their domain, and you know, we can't even comprehend the way that they would blend into the surroundings.
Definitely, they probably got obviously, because we haven't conducted any kind of science on them, we don't know very well, and they've probably got the ability from, you know, hundreds of generations of living in the forest and in nature, the ability to be able to do things that we can't fathom and we can't do as humans, as we're programmed our minds to live in a social society of skyscrapers and motor vehicles and things like that, where they've adapted to not need any of that kind of stuff, and their minds expanded into other aspects to give them strengths in camouflage or whatever it be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the downfall of the human race, is that we're so dependent on technology to advance ourselves now. Whereas these creatures, they don't have that.
Nor need it.
Exactly. Exactly. So did you ever talk to your friend about the sighting after this? Or was it just like this unspoken agreement of...
Definitely unspoken. We sort of were just like, oh, I swear I saw a woman holding a baby. And we were both like, nah, we agreed that we were quite sleep deprived, and it just never got spoken of again. But because I'd had these other two encounters only weeks apart from that event, I knew exactly what I'd seen, and it's the feeling that comes with it that lets you know that you're experiencing an encounter with a Yowie. It's pretty heavy stuff.
Did you have that same feeling as you did with the first one?
Yes. The first one was probably more intense, and it was a bit more scary feeling. The second one, not so much, because we sort of just palmed it off as, you know, maybe a bit of a hallucination. The third encounter definitely had me pretty scared. I stayed pretty close to the fire truck for the next couple of nights, fighting the rest of the fire. And I, definitely gives you the goosebumps.
Did the appearance of the female that you saw, did it appear to be similar to that first one?
It had a, these last two encounters were sort of around, if anyone knows where Yarloop is, you got dwelling up not too far away. It was sort of all through the national park through there, which was about, it's probably about 2 hours travel northwest from my first encounter. And the female one that I'd seen actually had quite broader shoulders and quite a larger head. And it almost looked like she had locks, like hair on her head. Big, large breasts and holding a baby. And the baby probably would have been 500 long, maybe 600 long.
Did it take any evasive action when you saw it, apart from when you went back to see that it was gone? But do you think it was aware that you saw it?
It definitely would have seen our fire truck come honking past, that's for sure. But I felt like it just stood still, and that was its tactic to blend in, and it just stood still. I didn't see it turn its head as we passed or anything like that. It just stood still, looking forwards, and that was it.
It's something that I do hear quite often when it comes to Yowie encounters. A mate of mine, Dean Harrison, he has this really interesting theory that they pretend to be trees or branches. So what you've described is almost down to the T of that type of theory, that this thing is just trying to blend in and be part of the scenery.
Absolutely. And I almost feel like these encounters are... I've always thought about this, right? When people go out looking for Bigfoots and whatever, and they find a big old footprint in the sand in the bush, and they get a plaster mold of it. And because I'm right into my hunting, I'm thinking, why don't you just follow the second footprint and then the third one? Why don't you just follow all these footprints into the forest like you would tracking any other animal and back to where they're bedding up? But you only ever see a handful of footprints, and I feel like that they've somehow slipped into our realm or dimension. And I feel the same when it comes to ghosts and even UFOs and all these other cryptic animals and all this stuff. I feel like that there must be some kind of little ripple that's gone on, and somehow the energies within that individual creature or being have let it vibrate into the next dimension or realm, parallel universe. I haven't figured all that part out yet, but there's something there that lets them step into our world, lets them become, interact with us, and vice versa. I even feel some people have the have this uncontrolled ability with themselves when things are vibrating in a certain way in their body and mind. They slip into this realm or world where you both can bump into each other. And I feel like that's what had been happening with me over those past few months, is I was just sort of on a different timeline or a different little path. And I, for whatever reasons why, but I was meant to experience them things and see them things for reasons I don't know, but those cards were dealt for me those days for a reason, I feel.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying there is it's a fantastic theory. A gentleman I've had on the podcast before, Ron Moorhead, is the grandfather of Bigfoot evidence. You know, there's the Patty footage, which is kind of like the Holy Grail, and the next one after that is the Sierra sounds, which he was the gentleman that captured that. And he's pretty much along the same lines as you, that he kind of believes that, you know, these creatures have a almost like a dimension hopping, I wouldn't say feature, but like a dimension hopping aspect to them, where they can kind of just slip in between different realms. He's actually got a book out, The Quantum Bigfoot Theory, and that there essentially kind of covers a lot of what you're saying there, because it's really not uncommon to hear of a lot of high strangeness when it comes to a Bigfoot or Yowie encounter. One thing that I hear all the time, and a lot of people who come on the show who to talk to me about their Yowie encounters also say that they see orbs of light.
True.
Soon after they've encountered a Yowie. And, you know, could this be leftover energy, or could that be the Yowie? Who knows? But, you know, this high strangeness is definitely connected to it. And, you know, you hear these things where these creatures are moving around, but no one can see them. Much like your third encounter, where this thing was potentially just meters in front of you, but you couldn't see it. You couldn't, there was nothing there to tell you that something was there other than the audible sound. And who's to know if you actually got everyone out there with their spotlights, what you would have seen. You may have seen nothing. You may have just had that experience of an audible only experience of this thing charging around you.
I never thought of it like that. And that is, that could have very well been exactly what had happened. And I'll have to look up the that bloke's book and have a little read, because I definitely do strongly feel it's definitely these creatures have that ability to do that, bringing us back to what I mentioned before about living in the forest for so long, they obtain things maybe that we don't have, and maybe they do it unwillingly, slipping into these realms or dimensions. I agree with the orbs as well. I actually, it wasn't long after, it's probably about 6 months after, I drove past the same spot, probably about 50 k's south on a gravel road, and I actually seen these three orbs of light just sort of hanging around on the bush, and I thought it was just a reflection of my stereo on my windscreen, because it was night time. I wound my window down so there was no reflection anymore, and I could still see these three things moving around. And I told me mates, when I rocked up my mate's face, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, buddy, you saw a Yowie a week ago. And just, yeah. But I agree. And I another thing too is if you notice a lot of, I've noticed quite a few encounters or sightings happen when there's something with high intense energy, like a bushfire or a war zone or things like that, where, you know, the Foo Fighter incident, you know, and things like that. There's a lot of high energy and things going on that could create imbalance in frequencies of some kind that allow these things to happen. You know, it's all just a theory, but I definitely feel strongly about that connection with the Yowie.
I agree with you. I think the Australian bush is alive. I think there's so much about it that we just completely do not understand, because, you know, Yowies aren't the only bipedal creature out there. I've heard so many encounters of other things out there. I've seen pictures of other things out there. These are things that aren't supposed to exist. You know, let alone a Yowie's not supposed to be real. You know, this is supposed to be something that, you know, this is a boogeyman. This is not something that is supposed to live in the bush just outside of where you live. Let alone there be these other creatures that we don't even have names for yet.
Absolutely. And there's probably multiple species, like subspecies of the one, if you know what I mean. I definitely agree. The Australian bush is a pretty large bit of land, and there's so much of Australia that is uninhabitable. I don't see why there's things out there that are still lurking. I still think the thylacine's out there in the bush. That thing's only been extinct for, I don't know, 60 years or something. Surely there's still a few kicking about.
Oh, mate, I'd bet my house on it that that thing is still kicking around somewhere.
Absolutely.
But Tyson, mate, your Yowie encounters are terrific. You know, as terrifying as they were for you, the way you shared your stories were so fantastic. And, you know, it's a really good insight into the reaction from someone who's a trained professional to deal with these kind of high stress situations that, you know, no one's ready to see a Yowie. And you're the perfect example of that.
Yeah. I definitely did think about that. I still think about that. My first reaction was, I'm about to deal with a car accident. So I put my emergency service pants on, I guess, and my brain went into operation mode, steps that procedures that need to be taken. And then my brain went, hang on a second, and it done a backwards loop and thought, let's get the hell out of here. This ain't pleasant.
Yeah, and you know, that's a really interesting point. Like, your mind was already in the game. You know, you were ready for that high stress situation, and yeah, it just goes to show when the paradigm breaks, it really does break.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.